The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
I think the fact that we're reminded online and on our phones of this day 2 years ago, this day 1 year ago, is more pertinent and poignant and now because of what we can't have and can't do than it might have been before. And so when you see Billy Joel play 2 years ago and you went to see him this day, it suddenly feels, God, the crowds, the noise, the buses, the taxis, the beers, the crack, all things we couldn't do today. And that's why I think those memories, reminders are a bit more important now than ever. And they're coming through like this time. Normally in the year we'd be at the on the Wild Atlantic Way and things like that. And I was saying to the guys, maybe I'll post up on Instagram a photo a day of the Wild Atlantic Way memories, just to kind of just to go on holidays with each other for another moment in a given day. So I'm going to do that starting today, which would be nice. And one of the other things that happened this time a year ago, 2 years ago, we went on a run of interviewing amazing women, which included Margaret Atwood, Christine Lagarde and Hillary Clinton in the space of 10 days and just being bowled over. And then about 3 years ago, we went to arguably my favourite piece of art in public sculpture in this country, which has the most beautiful history. And it's a story that makes me quite emotional on the basis that it's based only on kindness. And the Cork sculptor, Alex Pentek, he created this steel sculpture. And you think, steel sculpture, how can you make something beautiful? He said, wait a second. It was to remember the solidarity and kindness shown by the Choctaw Nation. Remember, we spoke about that quite a lot recently, the Native American nation, and their kindness to Ireland during the famine. And Alex, I'm glad to say today, has been commissioned to create a sculpture in Washington in honour of a black lawyer by the name of Charles Hamilton Houston. And Alex is on the line now from Cork. Good morning, Alex. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
Great to talk to you again. And congratulations on the commission. Tell us about Charles Hamilton Houston before we talk about the sculpture, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Thanks very much. Well, I've been researching Charles Hamilton Houston recently as well, in response to an open international call for a piece of work commemorating his achievements in Washington, D.C. So basically, he was a black activist who fought in the First World War as a second lieutenant field gunner for 2 years in France and Germany. But during his time as an American soldier, he experienced racism from within the ranks of the American Army. Mm-hmm. And there was a quote that I read about him, which really sort of gave me inspired me, I suppose, really to read between the lines of what he'd written. And I'll read the quote. He said, "The hate and scorn showered on those Negro officers by our fellow Americans convinced me that there was no sense in my dying for a world ruled by them. I made up my mind that if I got through this war, I would study law and use my time fighting for men who could not strike back."
Wonderful. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm. So reading between those lines, I thought, he is obviously going through a very dark time. I mean, France and Germany, it mustn't have been pretty. And then to also experienced, you know, racism from within the American Army, you know, from his fellow soldiers, it must have been a dark time. But during that period, he also must have held on to those core values of equality, of justice, of unity and integration and an education as a sort of light, maybe, that sort of held him through those times.
Yeah,
because afterwards, he did go on to study law and actually went on to change the segregation laws in America, known as the Jim Crow laws. Mm-hmm. And it was an awful thing that the sort of the premise of the Jim Crow laws was basically separate but equal, which, of course, is nonsense.
Yeah.
And he dismantled it in a very clever way. He basically said, okay, if you want separate, I'm going to make it separate but equal. I'm going to make it so expensive for it to be equal that basically you're going to want us to be together. So he sort of focused in the law school where there was mainly a male sort of attendance, and he basically over a period of time, managed to dismantle those laws of segregation because it just, you know, it was becoming sort of unfeasible, basically, to make equal facilities for blacks and whites in America. And, of course, the housing and the schooling for some of the black communities was not equal to the white sort of, you know... more privileged, I suppose, ethnic group. So it was based on that he really sort of dismantled it all and made a difference that's had a massive lasting legacy.
That line that he would study law and, quote, spend my time fighting for men who could not strike back.
I know.
That's a very powerful piece of use of English.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. And so thinking of all of the sort of, I suppose, the history that he's referring to and his direct experience, I mean, that is an ugly history.
Mm.
But he did something amazing. He set a sort of pathway for others to follow. He tutored Thurgood Marshall, and who was the first black Supreme Court judge. And so, you know, his legacy is huge. So I wanted to focus on something positive, and I realized that to be symbolic was the way to sort of approach this. So I looked at floriography, which is the sort of the field of using symbolism through plants and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that the allium flower is the sort of international symbol for unity and for staying true to one's principles. So the allium flower is a sort of globe-shaped cluster of beautiful flowers and a sort of upright stem. And so I chose to represent that flower in stainless steel, about 16 foot tall, to sort of symbolize the idea of unity and of staying true to one's principles of an integrated world. And the fact as well that it makes a sort of globe shape, you know, it's a global, it's a kind of, it kind of communicates togetherness, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And these are themes that I'm very interested in, close to my own core values, you know, exploring ideas of interconnectedness. And like the piece that you mentioned, Kindred Spirits, mm-hmm. you know, of standing up against adversity. And so this is sort of rising above and sort of communicating ideas of, I suppose, globality. And perhaps also that the world and our future ultimately belongs to the younger members of our, you know, society.
For sure. And the Kindred Spirits, I'm just going to bounce back one moment to the to the piece that you did in Middleton that I've always been waxing on about because it's so beautiful. And it is essentially 9 20-foot tall eagle feathers.
Yeah.
Which represent, remind me what that represents.
So it's a sort of fusion of ideas,
sure.
Again, where, and similar to Charles Hamilton Houston's history and story, some things are I find unimaginable. And thinking of the history of the Great Hunger or the famine in Ireland, where over 1 million died of starvation, mm-hmm. and it was described that the graves were walking, is just a horrific image. And then thinking back also to the Trail of Tears history of the Choctaw Native Americans, mm. who were forced from their ancestral lands near the Mississippi up to modern-day Oklahoma, where they died, over 4,000 died along the way in this awful sort of, it was almost a death march. And thinking of that sort of history as well, I just thought, well, some things are unimaginable. And it sort of led me towards a more symbolic approach, which is, I suppose, really why I've chosen to use symbolism for this piece in Washington, D.C.
And the flowers, the allium flowers that you describe, you've got this amazing ability to combine geometry, science, but also, for example, botany, symbolism, history. Mm-hmm. Your brain's it strikes me as being quite an interesting place to be.
I wouldn't say that, but I do love maths, and it's a weird thing that happened to me. Actually, after I left school, I realised I actually love maths. I was probably a bit lazy in school, But maths are amazing. It's like a universal language. And I wanted to kind of to bring maths into the picture, because maths sometimes can be viewed as boring or unimportant by by kids. But maths is in nature. Maths is in every flower we look at, through the Fibonacci series of numbers, the mathematics of growth that enable plants to sort of unfurl without distorting. And I wanted to kind of visually kind of communicate that message as well. So I've divided the surface of the globe of this allium flower into 620 flowers, which is based on an underlying geometry of a 20-sided shape, the isosahedron. Although it's not angled into triangles, there's sort of 20 triangular patches that are sort of domed that fit together. So it was a lot of drawing. It took a lot of time to actually put that together. Even though I'm using 3D modeling software, I didn't have like a button that I could press that would just do it for me. I had to actually draw it online on the program.
Sure.
But I think I'm also a great believer in our visual intelligence. I don't think it matters where we're from, who we are, or where we're going to. But once we see something, we kind of react to things visually almost quicker than we can think about it, on an emotional level. The way they say like 90% of communication is nonverbal, when you meet your friends or you meet someone new for the first time, there's body language kind of happening. And I think it's the same when we look at the world or view a piece of art, that there's a sort of unspoken conversation happening as an undercurrent almost, and informing how we feel and think about things. There was an architect by the name of Yohani Plasma, and he said, good architecture is the mediation between our minds and the world, which is a very open way of looking at things. And I think that, when we encounter particularly sculpture and architecture too, they inhabit three-dimensional space. So we have to negotiate those objects and those artworks and those buildings physically. We either walk around them or walk into them or through them . And so there's a sort of physical level of interaction that I enjoy.
Of course. And maybe that's why I loved Kindred Spirits so much, because it's a beautiful piece to walk around and to examine. And, it's just as you were talking there, I was thinking there's only one thing worse than good architecture and good sculpture, and that's bad architecture and bad sculpture. But that's in the eye of the beholder as well. Can I ask you, Alex, where is the piece going to sit when it's finished?
It's going near the Hamilton Houston Elementary School in Deanwood in Washington, D.C.
There's a very interesting figure in history from the United States who visited Ireland some time ago, as you probably know, aware of Frederick Douglass, who was considered to be, they called him the Black O'Connell. Mm-hmm. I'd love somebody somewhere, whoever the new minister for public works or whatever, I think he'd be a very interesting statue to have somewhere in this country, or at least not even a statue, it doesn't have to be that, but just a commemoration of or him or that struggle. Worth considering. But that's me now commissioning.
That's a beautiful idea. And actually, with commemorating and remembering Charles Hamilton Houston, I made a decision not to make a direct representation.
Yes.
To make a sort of more symbolic, open sort of visual message that can be interpreted by the viewer. You mentioned, the viewer, beholder share, which is a really important idea, I think, that the as viewers, we bring our own baggage with us, our own worldview, and how we interpret things is never invalid. I wouldn't feel qualified to tell someone that that's not what I was thinking when I made a piece of work. If someone comes to their own conclusion, that's even better, because I think an artwork should have a life of its own, and be sort of reinterpreted differently each time it's seen.
As we're talking, I one of the saddest things I ever saw wasn't too long ago, and it crawled under my skin, it wouldn't go away, was a children's graveyard in Letterfrack behind, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to get into it. But here, and then I'm reading the headlines today, and I'm seeing the violence committed against women in their homes, and too often with to fatal effect.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, one thing that would be I think, very beautiful in this country is a monument to those who were robbed of their lives, their childhoods, and their moment to be.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the broadest possible way, so that every citizen who knows somebody could visit this and say, okay, look, and particularly for the 20th century, which was so so abounded with terrible treatment of women and children.
No, I agree.
It would be beautiful.
And you know, really, I'm like as an artist who makes gallery work, but also public realm work. Working in the public realm, working in the public realm, context becomes an important part of the work. Mm-hmm. But context isn't just physical. It can also be historical or even emotional. And for a piece I made in Belfast City Cemetery, I felt very impacted by the emotional landscape of unmarked plots within the Belfast City Cemetery, known as Poor Ground. And on one of these plots, there are over 8,500 unbaptized children buried outside of the official cemetery at the time. Because they were unbaptized, they weren't allowed to be put in consecrated ground. So that was just an awful sort of legacy that these poor souls were basically given unmarked graves. And I was commissioned to create a piece to remember this history and also other unmarked graves there. There were, I think, a couple of unmarked plots linked to the First and Second World War. And I created a piece called Forget Me Not, again using, I suppose, floriography, symbolism. And these two Forget Me Not flowers are sort of forming an archway to sort of, I suppose, remember those who aren't really remembered.
I can see a floriographical piece to commemorate the people I was talking about there at some point. But let's make that another conversation for another day, Alex. What an intriguing job! But you know what? They were lucky to get you to make this piece.
Thank you very
much. I mean that. I'm a fan of what you do because people listening to it will know you put thought and more importantly you put soul into what you do. And we're lucky to have you, Alex. Thanks for your time today. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks.
Good luck with the sculpture. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Alex. Alex Pentek joining us there from Cork, and he's been commissioned to make this piece for the school in Washington for Charles Hamilton Houston's memory. But if you haven't looked up or seen his piece on Kindred Spirits, it's called Kindred Spirits, I should say, about the Choctaw in Ireland in Middleton, it is a thing of great joy. And if you're looking for this alternative education day for your kids, and you're from Cork, or if you're passing by, go and see it. Go off the road and go and see it, because it's absolutely beautiful. Tex says, lately myself and two pals have taken to visiting local landmarks. What a great thing to do because of their proximity. And they never held much interest, or because we visited them so long ago. I recommend the Obelisk on Killiney Hill for its history. I know it well. The Hellfire Club, of course, in Glencree. And the Glencree German Graveyard. I know these places well. Bray Head. And not a penny changed hands. So, guys, get out there and bring your kids. They will love it. That's a great, great, smart thing to do. I could never understand, says the text, how during World War II in Europe, the Americans had segregated battalions. Here was an army whose mission it was to defeat a vicious regime based on extreme racism, yet a lesser racism was operating within their ranks. The film Yanks with Richard Gere touches on it, says Tom in Rathfarnham. Thank you for that. I love the expression, lesser racism. It doesn't, but I know what you're saying entirely. Point well made. And in fact, Alex, speaking of which, Alex Pentek is pictured, as it happens, courtesy of Dan Lennon, on the front of the Irish Examiner today in full flow, designing sculpture. The sculpture to celebrate the achievements of the activist Charles Houston, as mentioned in our conversation there. Shortly, we'll go to New York City to see what in the name of Jippert is going on over there. Back in a second.